1. Tariana. It was pouring rain. Monstrous droplets that stung as they struck, like having pebbles thrown against one's face over and over again. A deluge that turned the streets of Aracom to streams. Waterfalls pouring from the rooftops. Blackened skies flickered with lightning, the resultant thunder deafening Tariana's ears. Yet, for all the storm's ferocity, the Aranoquians had still come out in the thousands, in the tens of thousands, to witness the execution of Urkon. A platform was set up at the center of the God Circle, the great stone towers dedicated to each of the seven gods seeming to watch as the space filled with people. Men, women, children. Their faces were twisted with hate and fury and anticipation. Their words indistinguishable, but the collective volume rivaled the thunder as they called for the blood of a tyrant. Motion caught Tariana's eye, and she glanced past Marcus to see Titus cross his arms, his helmet doing little to hide his disapproval of the scene. Not for the first time, she was struck by how much the young commander of the 41st resembled his father, Lucius Cassius, and not just in his features.
"If they riot, we'll have more casualties than we did taking the rutting city," Titus muttered. "Every blasted person in Aranoquia is here. To bear witness is to strike the blow. It's the closest thing to revenge these people have,"
Marcus answered, his voice still raspy from his injured throat. It had been only 2 days since he and Tariana had stood together on the hill overlooking Aracom, since he'd committed to whatever it was that was between them, a fragile relationship built on affection and lust, and something deeper she wouldn't put a name to. 2 days since she'd abandoned reason and committed to the same. Water sluiced down Marcus's face, but his eyes remained fixed on the crowd, mouth an unsmiling line. The slight flexing of the muscles in his jaw the only sign of emotion. A scrape marred one of his cheeks, and his throat was ringed with dark bruises in the shape of fingers. Injuries that he'd gained coming to her aid when she'd been kidnapped and held prisoner in a failed gambit to defeat the Cell Legions. As though sensing her scrutiny, Marcus turned his head, gray-blue eyes meeting hers with an intensity that made Tariana feel as though they stood utterly alone, despite being surrounded by 50 men of the 37th. The corner of his mouth tilted up for a heartbeat, and warmth flooded her chest. Then his attention moved back to the crowd. Her own skin prickled, and Tariana looked to her left, finding Felix's gaze on her. The second in command's bland expression did nothing to hide his anger and hurt at having his place at Marcus's side usurped. Given he was potentially the one who'd paid Urkon's men to get rid of her, standing elbow to elbow with him was unnerving at best. "Was it you?" she silently asked. "Are you the traitor? Or are you merely the scapegoat?" The crowd surged, pulling Tariana from her thoughts. A thin corridor formed, leading toward the platform, and several armed Aranoquians appeared, dragging a figure between them. Urkon. For more than a decade, he'd lorded over his people with a heavy fist, extorting their wealth, stealing their children for his armies, slaughtering any who stood against him, and enforcing his dominance with terrifying brutality. He was a monster, a villain of the First Order. But it was hard to remember that as she took in the ancient man the warriors were half carrying. His legs were unable to bear his weight. They'd stripped him, his naked body scrawny and feeble, and showing signs of gout. A few wisps of white were plastered against his skull, and his sunken eyes were wild with fear and confusion. He tripped over his own feet, only the grip of his captors keeping him from falling. He's a murderer, she reminded herself, remembering the people from Imperatrix Ereni's town that Urkon's men had left slaughtered on the path as a warning for Marcus. Remembering how their blood had coated her bandaged feet, sticky and stinking of copper. Remembering the testimonies of the victims of Urkon's men who'd committed atrocities in his name. Remembering that it had been this feeble old man who'd employed Ashok, one of the corrupted, to exercise his control of Erenokwia and its people. Yet for all the reminders brought back her terror, they still jarred with what she was seeing with her own two eyes. Who would follow this man? Then the Erenokwians started to throw pebbles. Tariana flinched as the first struck and Urkon cried out, blood running from a wound on his temple. Another pebble opened a thin line of red across his shoulder. Another, a lesion across his thigh. Swiftly, she lost count, the air filling with flashes of gray as the people he'd tyrannized for so long rained their hate down upon him.
They're going to kill him before Ereni has a chance to swing that axe, Titus said. What a mess this is. We should have handled the execution. He's their kill, Marcus answered.
And Tariana wondered whether he'd made that decision because he knew Ereni had been displeased about him taking the honor of executing Urkon's men in Galena. Whether it was a political choice meant to earn the Erenokwian's favor, or whether it was another reason entirely. The warriors dragged Urkon onto the platform, where Ereni and the other Imperators waited, and the barrage of stones ceased. The old man was bleeding and sobbing, and he remained prone in front of the leaders of the clans.
The gods have borne witness to your crimes, Urkon.
Ereni inclined her head to each of the towers.
And unless one of them sees fit to stay my hand, let them bear witness to your punishment.
Everyone in the crowd lifted their hands to make the sign of the six against their chests, and though she was typically careful never to do so around the cell, Tariana did the same. Ereni hefted an axe, the blade wet and glinting from the rain, and the crowd screamed for blood. Her mouth moved, but it was impossible to hear her over the noise of the crowd.
What did she say?
Titus asked. And Tariana curbed the urge to tell him to be quiet.
She told him to get up.
Marcus's tone was flat.
For Erenokwians, it's a matter of honor to face one's execution bravely in order to earn the favor of the gods. She's giving him the opportunity to regain face before he dies. An opportunity to save himself from being taken by the seventh god to the underworld.
How do you know that? Tariana wondered. Who told you? Do you believe it? Titus spit on the ground.
Pagan nonsense. Bastard deserves to die on his knees. Titus, Marcus said. Shut up.
At any other time, Tariana would have smirked, but it was all she could do to keep her stomach contents in check as Ereni again shouted at Urkon to get to his feet. Instead, the ancient tyrant attempted to crawl to the edge of the platform, trying to flee his execution. Expression tightening, Ereni barked an order at her warriors, who grabbed hold of Urkon's ankles and dragged him back to the center of the platform. He managed to extricate himself from their grip, curling into a ball like a frightened child. The warriors forced his body straight, trying to get him into a position where Ereni could swing, but Urkon writhed and twisted.
This isn't right.
Next to her, Marcus rocked slightly on his heels, and when she glanced at him, his jaw was tense, his brow furrowed.
Stop this, she willed him. Stop it before it's too late.
The crowd was losing its momentum, the noise diminishing as more warriors dragged an execution block onto the platform, tying Urkon to it so that his arms were splayed out. Irene said something to the other Imperators, who all nodded. Then her gaze flicked in Marcus's direction. He didn't so much as twitch. The axe blade gleamed as Irene swung it through the air, slicing through the falling rain, time seeming to slow to a crawl as it descended. But instead of striking true, it embedded in the base of Urkon's skull. The old man screamed in agony. Grimacing, Irene jerked the blade free and swung again, but this time hit Urkon's shoulders, the axe sinking deep in the muscle. The old man howled, and Tariana gagged, covering her mouth. "I'm not watching this," Felix growled, turning. But Marcus reached past Tariana, catching his second-in-command's arm.
"We helped make this happen, so we will watch."
Irene swung the axe a third time, the blade sending droplets of blood flying over the crowd, which was no longer cheering. This time her aim was true, and the weapon severed Urkon's head from his neck. She reached down and picked it up, holding it high. Blood poured down, glistening crimson droplets joining the rain on the platform. Urkon's eyes dull and sightless. "The tyrant is dead!" The crowd repeated Irene's words over and over. Tariana wondered whether Urkon was being dragged down to the underworld with their screams in his ears, and whether he deserved it.
"The tyrant may be dead,"
Marcus echoed the crowd's refrain.
"We shall see about the tyranny."
"Why do you say that?" Tariana murmured under her breath.
"Because,"
he said, turning away from the bloody scene,
"this particular tyrant wasn't working alone."